And joining us now in our studios is Northfield Mayor Rhonda Pownell and City Administrator Ben Martig. Good morning.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. And you know
don't
what?
Don't you just come on?
You know what has
beautiful
happened
day
too?
In the neighborhood, right? There you go.
What happened to and you guys played a big role in this. The popcorn wagon is now licensed and good to go for the year. It's going to be appearing in Bridge Square. You approved
shortly.
That last night. Yeah, shortly.
Breakfast, can't wait. Lunch, and dinner, right?
Definitely a sign of spring, and they've got they have a dutiful customer in me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, though I think you should have, not approved it so they can be outlaws
out there. Yeah,
got a little intrigue. They're like Jesse James, man.
I don't think so.
No, it'll be out pretty soon. Hey, let's start off with a couple of things. You've got, you swore in some new police officers and some sergeants. Yeah. There's been some retirements and some hirings and Northfield. Are we back to full stock on that? Or?
I think, good question.
Chief pretty
Elliott,
close to it anyway.
Pretty close. I mean, we were just so fortunate. And again, just really a great police department with a lot of really wonderful people working on behalf of the broader community, keep our community safe. They're out there building relationships with people in our community of all ages. They're in the school system, right? And they're out there walking the streets, sometimes biking, right? But just a really great department. And Chief Elliott presented, and we swore in, City Clerk Lynette Peterson swore in three new officers, Leah Hedberg, Stephen Fisher, and Griffin Hawes, all had a previous experience, education in varying levels of the field and roles that they played prior to coming to the City of Northfield. Just really great candidates. So it was fun to see them get sworn in. And then recognizing two promotions, David Jandro and Mark Cohn to sergeant. So just, again, really, I mean, our council chambers is always full whenever we're swearing in new police officers, and recognizing the promotion of two others, that it's fun to see their family members and their kids. And it was just such a sweet moment to watch as some of the kids were even helping to pin the badge on their mom or dad. And it was just a really sweet moment, recognizing that our officers, they have family members that are supporting them and in their roles. And similarly to our firefighters, they're working all hours of the day and sacrificing family events and things like that to be able to serve our community. So just really grateful to all of our public safety and officials that are out there.
All right. You also had a presentation from the Northfield Hospital and Clinics. They've completed the 2023 audit. You got the results. Anything noteworthy there?
I think one of the things that they highlighted, and we've known this for some time, right? Hospitals or the medical field, or anybody that's serving in that health industry has been going through a lot of changes and experiencing some financial challenges. But I think the board and the administration have been doing a lot of hard work to ensure that our hospital remains financially strong and viable for our community into the future. We had Eric Guth, our chief financial officer, there with us last night and reported on that we continue to see volume growth really in almost all areas and the departments. Many of the volumes surpass pre-pandemic levels, and they are continuing to experience record levels of emergency department visits and imaging procedures, which, you know, that people need, and you're a great example, Jeff, right, with with your wrist. People need care. When you need it, you need it. And so just having our hospital right there so close to home is such an important and strong asset for our community. They also said that back in 2022, after after 2022, they saw a drop-off in births, outpatient visits, and clinic visits, but those have now rebounded, and they have set new volume records in 2023. So it's just that there's a lot of good things happening at our hospital, and people working very hard to ensure that it remains financially healthy into the future, because if you don't have a financially healthy hospital, there's no money, no mission. And there's an important mission that our hospital plays for our community, and just so grateful for those that are working to ensure it remains financially healthy.
Mayor Pownell and City Administrator Martig are our guests right now in studio. We're talking about last night's City Council meeting. Let's get to the regular agenda. You approved some rules of business and appendices, according to the audit or the agenda from last night. Now, I understand this has to do with the public hearing or public comment section. Is that mm-hmm. is that part of it?
Yes.
Tell us about this. What brought it on? And
well, currently, right now, we have open public comments, which means that you can comment on anything, whether it's on the council's agenda or not, right in a section right in between the consent agenda and the regular agenda. And that was done in an effort to make it easier for people to stop in, make their comment, and then head out if they had other things on their plate that they needed to get to. And so what the main difference that we approved last night was to move that section to right before the council starts. And that would be on the first and third Tuesday of the month. And it's set for 6 p.m. to 6:20 p.m. And then to have a short break of about 10 minutes before the council would start their regular agenda for the evening. So there still is two times a month where people can come in and comment on any item, whether as long as it's not on the agenda. So that mm-hmm. is one additional change, right, is that we just ask if it's on the council's agenda that evening that they speak to the item right during the meeting. So those, we're not removing that. We're just asking people to comment on those agenda items during the actual meeting. But opening it up and making it much more friendly, welcoming atmosphere where if someone comes in and they have a simple question, we can just ask staff to address it either in the moment, or they can step out and really meet with somebody in one of the conference rooms, but really an effort to make it less intimidating, more open. The council won't be sitting at the dais, or at least at this point, we would be sitting still in the council chambers, but right alongside people that want to talk to the council about things that they care about. And we do still have the 2-minute limit on there, but wanted to give this a try to see if it worked better for not only the council, because oftentimes we're just listening and it feels like it's just really somebody talking at you. This gives us an opportunity in a less formal atmosphere to be able to address or, not really address, because it's not going to be a conversation back and forth, because that can easily, that could take up an hour, right, or more. So really just to receive input from our community members in a less formal setting, more welcoming atmosphere, and allow our city staff to be able to address questions, maybe even just chat with people in that 10-minute time frame in between when the council concludes a listening session and goes into the regular agenda for the evening. So we hope that it'll work better.
Will this, there is a concern about transparency. Pardon me. Will it be streamed? Will it be recorded? Will people have record of having these conversations?
Yeah, right now the rules that we passed wouldn't have that recorded. We would be documenting who was there, what the topics were covered, and it's certainly an open meeting for people to come to. Part of the reason for not live streaming it is we do have production concerns where the regular meeting follows immediately after, and our production team has had issues with kind of getting things to work. So to start and stop that and then start and stop it again for the regular meeting was a concern. I think we will continue to explore whether there's possibilities of doing some kind of audio recording or something for documentation, but for right now it doesn't have that. We're going to be test casing this, test running it like the council says. They can tweak it if it's not working well or go back if they need to. So that's maybe an open question in the future. In addition to what the mayor said related to being more resident kind of friendly, we've been hearing from people that it doesn't feel particularly good right now for anybody involved in the way that we do the public comment. So this is an attempt to try something new. I think the other thing is better utilization of meeting time. When we looked at other cities, not surprising to me, there's virtually no cities that don't put time limits of some kind on open comment period. So this will put a defined period, because part of it, we do these at the regular meeting right now, and of course we have a whole full agenda of things to do. So the mayor and I work really hard to try and program how much time, to try and give enough time for policy analysis. If you have something come up from the public and we have an hour's worth of testimony that doesn't relate, all of a sudden the business we have to get to doesn't get done. So one of the things we talked about, though, is even though we're limiting it that to that 20 minutes, an example last night, we had some residents there. There is the ability to actually extend to give more than 2 minutes in some cases. So you could actually have time where people get more, depending on how much testimony. The other thing we talked about is by documenting kind of who's there, we could always maybe look at scheduling an additional listening session or putting something on the agenda if there is a need for more time to be, get done. So I think that's important, too, that we do have other work to do, and it's important to hear from the public, but we also have to balance that with actual items of agreements and contracts and policies and projects that we have to get done as well. So that was another goal of the meeting, or goal of the changes that were implemented by the council last night.
So let me add a little, see if I can get some clarity on one issue. When somebody goes there and talk, there will be, you know, council and staff there to listen. Can you interact at that time? If they ask a question, can you give an answer, or one of the staff members or something? Is it still kind of the formal meeting where you can't reply, or you can?
So we had a lot of conversations around that. And if you take any of the, if you only have one or two people there, it creates an opportunity where you can have a little bit more back and forth. But the council, in our conversations, we didn't want to all of a sudden be in a situation where we're almost having a policy discussion right there, and especially if it's not being taped, right? Mm-hmm. So that's best to be left at the council dais, where the full public can see, hear, and understand where the elected leaders stand on different policy issues. But yes, in a sense, if somebody has a specific question, which happened last night, we had a couple people there expressing concerns with regards to Milltown's Trail. The council as a whole would be listening. We wouldn't be in our formal seating arrangement around the dais. We'd be seated alongside people. But when two individuals came up last night to express some concerns about Milltown's Trail, now it gives us the opportunity to say, here's our city engineer. Here's an opportunity for you to get some additional feedback, input, so to direct it so that our city staff could answer that question. But even as one of my colleagues said last night, if we just go around with all seven of us responding to a question, that's 14 minutes right there. And that's not necessarily what we're there for. We're there to listen and to receive that feedback and input. And so the more that we can just quietly listen and then follow up with people afterwards. There are multiple different ways that people can reach out to the council, like email, phone, and they can set up meeting times with folks. So there still are those opportunities to relate to, connect with, and a lot of us attend open houses. We're in our grocery stores. We're walking down the sidewalk. We're sitting right alongside our community members here in multiple different ways and venues, and that is the benefit of having local elected leaders right here within your community.
Now, is this voted on last night? Was there action mm-hmm. taken on this to give it a, was it approved, I guess?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it'll be going to effect here the beginning of June.
All right, let's move on to the Carbon Reduction Fund. Honestly, I wasn't really aware that we had a fund. I knew we had goals as far as carbon reduction. Tell us about the annual report that you got last night. Who gave the report?
Reese Kareem, the assistant to the city administrator, gave the report. She's the staff person for the Environmental Quality Commission. A portion of our electric and gas fees that we charge to residents, a small portion of that, goes into the special fund. And so the council had approved that when we made that additional fee, and requires an annual reporting of that. So they gave, Reese gave an update on some of the projects that we are working on with the Climate Action Fund. It includes things like electrification improvements of our charging stations at City Hall. We did a downtown, early phases of a downtown geothermal district to be able to potentially fuel our heat sources and cooling systems of our public and private buildings downtown, maybe eventually to have a geothermal system, rebate programs, education on home rebates and things. Last night, it wasn't in the report, but we approved $25,000 to go to the Northfield School District to do some geothermal well testing as part of their referendum question coming up to see how that could create a more sustainable and carbon neutral building long term for that. So good report from Reese, kind of summarizing some of the projects that, that we're working on with the climate plan from last year.
Yeah, you mentioned, let's delve into the geothermal here for just a second. We don't want to go too in-depth, but the high school will have that as part of the referendum, where they want to heat the high school with that. Now, being part of that study, is that just for the wells, the just the you know, the water base, water level base down under? If the city wanted to do that, you'd always see Carleton do it with their whole campus. Would Northfield be a more individual type thing with the buildings spread out all over town if they were to do something like that in the future? Or?
Yeah, so like as it's usually an area, so like the Carleton kind of covers their campus, obviously. Part of our study actually looked to see if we could tap into their capacity because it's not too far down the road here, but that didn't work out. So like the school district would serve their campus. The district downtown, the idea, kind of like how steam systems used to work in the old days in the downtown, similar type of a thing where it would be a shared systems with some borings that we would maybe do in the parks along the river where we bore maybe underneath there. And then it would, you'd have pipes going to the private buildings to be able to service that. So that's the idea of it. It's pretty innovative. St. Paul's been doing it for many years. Rochester's kicking off a pilot program, and Duluth, I think, is exploring it. So we're a smaller city. This is fairly technical. We have to use some consultants to see if this might work. But we're exploring that because that's our goal, is to get to carbon neutrality and being innovative and trying to find ways to reduce cost and long-term is something that we're probing. So having this fund is helpful to be able to try and explore some of those things.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah. Very, very well said, too. I kind of threw that out there. It's like, yeah. And so I appreciate
that. I know enough to be dangerous sometimes, Jeff.
I appreciate that.
Good thing.
Once again, Administrator Mardigan, Mayor Pownell are with us. Lastly, you got an update on the ICE Arena partnership, tax impacts, and timeline. I know there's a lot of people that are interested in this. What was discussed? Let's talk about Arena partnership. Is that with the school district?
Yes. Yeah, so this is different than what the council or even the community has really been given the opportunity to move forward previously with regards to the ICE Arena. So this is a partnership truly with the Northfield School District, the City of Dundas, and our Northfield Hockey Association, as well as the city. And yes, the City of Northfield will pick up the lion's share of that, but so appreciative. People have been working very hard on this to see if there's a way that we can move forward a new facility on some land that has been gifted to the Northfield Hockey Association that is down closer to the Dundas Dome, back behind where Arby's and some of those other businesses along there are. And so this is, yeah, it's a new opportunity, new collaboration, and the council is really wrestling with this because we know that there are a lot of concerns with regards to the tax levy and doing a lot of due diligence and asking kind of some really hard questions. Is there a way that we can make this work to ensure that it's financially viable for our community? And one of the things that came back last night was almost like a, I would call it like a return on investment. Oftentimes people look at just simply the cost to do something, not the return on investment. And so last night, staff brought back some analysis that really detailed the direct, indirect, and induced financial impacts on our community as a whole on what that would look like if we were to build a new ice arena, single sheet ice arena. And at Moore, there are a couple different options. One was a $28 million option, which there doesn't seem to be buy-in to move forward with the $28 million option. But really, there's an option two, which is a $20 million option, which is still pretty expensive. But I think it was just really helpful to see the impacts financially on the broader community of having an ice arena within your community. And totaling, I think it says, an annual impact of over $1.5 million to the city. Again, it's annually that you would receive that as a community, not specifically back to the city of Northfield or the city of Dundas, but our businesses that are here would receive some of that. Those dollars would go to buying costs, services, items within their businesses. And that's one of the ways that we can support our local economy.
And folks, if you're interested in this, there is a lot of information on the agenda. The packet that comes along with the agenda is available on the website. You have, six different things people are free to download, items of information, reports and such, so that they can do that. You also discussed the timeline on this. Do we have a set timeline now, or at least some guidelines?
So a few other things related to timeline. We gave a report, of course, that's been reported. The school district did formally commit, saying we intend to pay up to $250,000 for our ice time and going to the new arena. They're also concerned because they know over $1 million operating loss would be projected if we didn't have ice in town. And so not only is there an economic impact, but if we don't have an ice facility, the school district's likely to face programmatic impacts through operational cuts, because families that are committed to using ice really want to live in a community that has that, and we'd lose those. So that school district did give their support. Dundas Mayor Schweitzer was in attendance at our meeting last night, and he talked about where staff presented to the Dundas at a work session, their council, and they were very supportive. They're scheduled to vote on their commitment to basically pay the same proportionate share of the cost of a new facility as Northfield residents. So their homeowners with a certain valued home would pay that same impact annually if this were to go forward. They'll be setting to vote on that issue. And then the Hockey Association has a campaign committee that's starting, and they're trying to raise $2 million in addition to the $500,000 7-acre land that was donated. And then they're hoping, too, that some of the cuts that we had to make to not be able to afford that $28 million number, they're hoping that if they hit that $2 million, they might be able to add in some of those things that they normally would have in a modern facility. So they're busy trying to raise that. They've got $200,000 committed already in a very, very early part of the campaign. So the schedule, if all comes together in June, after we get these commitments from Dundas, the council would be wrestling with direction on where do they want to go from there. If things would play out, we'd be directed to start doing some design work for this year, putting agreements together, putting it out for bid and construction in 2025 would be the schedule if it all fell together. But more to come in June, I would say, or pay attention to the Dundas City Council meeting coming up at the end of May.
The other question involves a possibility of a referendum. Depending, I guess, on how you're going to finance this, is whether or not we need to have a referendum or the city can just decide. Do you know, I don't know if anybody has the answer to that yet, but what is the timeline if we do need to have a referendum? At what point do we have to decide to put that on the ballot?
Yeah, one of the challenges, a couple of things. One is we are working with somebody to buy the arena. So that's getting finalized, too. That would be part of the issue. They actually wanted to close on that last year, and then we'd lease it back for the period of construction. So they've been patiently working, waiting for us, but really need to close on that this year. That would mean, in order to do that, we'd be looking at that decision to be done directly through the city council, where we do a lease revenue bond, where the council would make this decision and then have lease agreements and partnerships with the school district, with Dundas, related to the new facility. So right now, the financing plan would not involve a vote of the voters at this time, and that's partly driven by the need to sell the building. I would say additionally, time is money, and we've seen how dramatically increases that we've seen in the cost increases, that if we had made this decision last year or the year before, we would have seen dramatically lower costs. So we're also trying to be cognizant of, you know, time is money with that as well, and pulling these partnerships together is difficult enough. And so that's the current mm-hmm. financial plan that we're looking at doing that, is to move it ahead yet this year.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. Anything else wasn't on the agenda, or anything that was on the agenda? Would you like to make some closing comments?
So I just wanted to go back to the ice arena conversation here mm-hmm. for just a moment, because it was really, and just encouraging people, take the time, like you said, to go and look at the council packets, particularly for this agenda item, because it really did lay out the different options that the council has to consider as we move forward. And one of those, when you're considering tax impacts, option two, which is there's an option one, which is $28 million. Option two is $20 million, and then there's an option three, which I believe option three is the remodel and with a small addition to the existing facility, and then there's a get out of the ice business. And the option two and three actually have the same tax impact per month to property owners, which is the $14 a month. So if you looked at updating the existing facility, and there's a lot of different reasons why that doesn't, it's the same tax impact. And I just really encourage people to take a look at it and weigh in, and some people, council people, are more than willing to listen to different perspectives on this. And people have been reaching out to us on both sides of this, and just really appreciate that. It's a difficult decision to make, but at some point the community needs to move forward, and this may be our last option. We either need to move this forward or get out of the ice business. It's so important for our community, and the building is in such rough shape.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would agree with that. We need to do it or get off it. Yeah. All right. Thank you to both so much for coming in today. We much appreciate it, and we'll talk to you once again next week.